when Bob called me, however long it was, to ask me whether or not I wanted to talk about transformation, at first I said, well, like any good Catholic and Christian, I said, well, let me pray about it, which meant give me some time, okay? And actually, it's something I have been struggling and praying for a long, long time. And so at first I thought, I don't know if I'm worthy or if I'm even ready to give a talk on transformation. But the more I thought about it and all the things that God has been putting in my life, I thought, you know, well, maybe this is truly a call. And then Bob said, well, your name keeps coming up. So I don't know if he was just stretching the truth a little bit, or but that was the way of me saying, okay, God, I think you really want me to do this. So just real quick, because I don't have a lot of time, because we could be here if I give a Father Isaac talk like Joe told me last week. But let's just say up until around 31 or 32 years of my life, I was not an ideal Christian or Catholic, okay? I drank a lot, got drunk a lot. I did drugs. I was addicted to pornography. I was a very, very angry person, and the list goes on and on and on. And then one day I got a letter from Mark Schweitzer, probably a lot of you know, to come and bring tech to North Central West Virginia. And except for the Holy Spirit, who I didn't even know at that time, I don't know why I went to that meeting, because God was not part of my life. And I didn't like teenagers. We didn't even have kids at that time. But I went to that meeting, and then about a year and a half later, during reconciliation, during Tech One, I spent 2 hours, because I think everybody else was big sinners, because that's how long it took me to get to the confessional. But I spent 2 hours at St. Mary's staring at that crucifix, asking God for forgiveness. And before I even got to the confessional, I heard him tell me, you're forgiven. And I told everybody at Tech One, I said, you know, you all have shown me God's love and it's changed my life. And because of that, I want to do that for everybody else I meet. So that's a little bit on my story. Again, I didn't want to get into too much detail. But I also started thinking, well, what's the difference between change and transformation? And for tonight, I was thinking, well, you know, if you think about the 3 years the apostles spent with Jesus, their life was changed. You know, even Peter said, hey, we've given up everything for you, you know. And we know what they did, that their lives was changed. But we also know the Pentecost story. And we know after Pentecost and after the Holy Spirit came into their lives, that their lives were transformed. And what they did was why we're here today. And also, just a little bit on what I'm going through now. I think most of you know my wife. My wife's got MS. She's not doing very well. I have constant crosses and constant opportunities that if I would take them, I would be a saint right now. But I fail. And that's why I've been struggling on this transformation, because I know the Lord is calling me to completely transform and give everything to him, and yet I struggle with that. So anyways, so the question is, are we called to be transformed? Well, Jesus said many, many times through chapters 14 and 15 of St. John, you know, love one another as I have loved you. So, I mean, that's probably like, wow, you know, how can we do that? Well, the way we can do that is to be transformed and let the Holy Spirit into our life. He also said, be holy as I am holy. Well, again, that's impossible. But again, just like we heard in, I don't know if it was today's gospel or it was yesterday's gospel, you know, for man, that's impossible. But for God, everything's possible. And then finally, I think St. Paul said it the best when he said, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And that, to me, is the transformation that we're all called to be, when we can truly say it is Christ that lives in me. And I was really excited because yesterday and today, the readings from St. Peter were phenomenal. Yesterday, St. Peter says, Blessed, and I'm paraphrasing, okay. Blessed be the Lord God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new life and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. New life. That's what he's talking about. That's what they're all talking about, being transformed. And then today, after he talked about the salvation yesterday, he's talking about how all the prophets, you know, prophesied about the things to come, the salvation, you know, and being one with God. And then he goes on, it blew my mind today, I was reading it, and he goes, these are things that angels longed to see. I mean, these are angels in heaven with God all the time, and yet they longed to see this. So, I mean, when you think about that and what that means, what that transformation that we're called to be, I mean, it's just phenomenal to me. And so I was really excited. I said, well, thank you, Holy Spirit, for those two readings today. Jimmy had talked about Father Canamalesa. He's the priest who gives all the homilies to the papals, to the popes and stuff. So he gives this rhetorical question. He says, do we really believe that God loves us? And he goes on to say, no, we don't really believe it, or at least not strongly enough. And if we did, and if we were to believe it, everything, our lives, things, and events would be transfigured before our eyes. This very day, we would be in paradise with him, for paradise is simply rejoicing in God's love. So there again, he says, you know, if we really grasp that love of God, we would be transformed if we really could take all that is in, okay? And then I was reading Pope Benedict's book on Jesus of Nazareth, and I was reading the Holy Week because we just went through Lent and Holy Week. And when he was reflecting on the resurrection, he says, Christ's resurrection opened up a new dimension of human existence. So that resurrection of Jesus gives us the opportunity to step into the resurrection and new life that Peter talked about with Jesus and be transformed. So I think it's safe to say with a resounding yes that we are called not simply to change, but we are called to be transformed. So, you know, when I was looking at all this, I went to the catechism and I looked up transformation. Now, if I was a new age, I would have just pulled out my iPhone, which I don't own, and just flipped things and then did a search for transformation and find out where it said transformation. But I had to get the book out and look in the glossary, and to my dismay, there was nothing on transformation. So I was like, okay, Lord, now what? You know, so as I was thinking about, you know, this call to holiness, you know, I said, well, I'll look up holiness and see what it says. And if you bear with me, it's a little long, but all the things that I have been going through, well, at least a lot of them that I have been going through over the last 6 months to a year or more in my life, are stated here, and they're going to be the principles of what I kind of talk about tonight. So when it talks about Christian holiness, it says, we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. All Christians in any state or walk of life are called to fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. All are called to holiness. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And it goes on to say, in order to reach this perfection, the faithful should use the strength dealt out to them by Christ's gift, so that doing the will of the Father in everything, they may wholeheartedly devote themselves to the glory of God and to the service of their neighbor. Thus, the holiness of the people of God will grow in fruitful abundance, as is clearly shown in the history of the church through the lives of so many saints, and which some of them I'm going to share some stuff with you tonight. Then it goes on and says, spiritual progress towards tends towards ever more intimate union with Christ. This union is called mystical because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, the holy mysteries, and in Him, in the mystery of the Holy Trinity. God calls us all to this intimate union with Him, even if the special graces or extraordinary signs of the mystical life are granted only to some for the sake of the manifestation of the gratuitous gifts given to all. The way of perfection passes by the way of the cross. So, there was a lot in there, but six of the main points that I want to emphasize are intimate union with Christ, the will of the Father, glory to God, service of your neighbor, the way of the cross, and the sacraments. There's a lot more things that I could go over, but in the sake of time and not keeping here past midnight, I'll just keep it to those. So, intimate union with Christ. To me, that's the heart of it all. And we've had, you know, the six or seven, or I lost count how many speakers before me, but I think they've done a fantastic job talking about God's love, you know, His salvation, His gifts, His graces. So I don't want to dwell on all of that, but I do want to just simply refer to a couple things again, if I get the right book. Father Buchanan Malaysa actually wrote the intros to the Word Among Us book, and so he was reflecting on Pentecost and then, you know, how the Holy Spirit filled them all. And he goes on, he says, first, it is important to note that the Holy Spirit is the love of God. So to say that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit means they were filled with the love of God. And then he says, so Pentecost was the moment when each of the apostles had the overwhelming experience of being loved by God. So, you know, that's the heart of it. I mean, each and every single one of us, we have to experience that. You know, it's one thing to know God. You know, I read the Bible every day. Yeah, I know who God is. I know Jesus came and died for me. But you got to have that personal experience. You got to experience God's love. And that will set your hearts on fire. And then just one other reading, because I think this sums it up so great. It was a reflection on the Good Shepherd Sunday. I get my page right here. Too many markers. So he's reflecting on the Good Shepherd Sunday, and he goes on and says, a close relationship of loving knowledge is here established between the Good Shepherd and his sheep. One so intimate that the shepherd knows his sheep one by one and can call them by name, and they recognize his voice and follow him with docility. Each soul can say, Jesus knows me and loves me, not in a general abstract way, but in the concrete aspects of my needs, of my desires, and of my life. For him to know me and to love me is to do me good and to encompass me more and more with his grace and to sanctify me. Precisely because he loves me, Jesus calls me by name. He calls me when in prayer, he opens to me new horizons of the spiritual life, or when he enables me to know my faults and weaknesses better. He calls me when he reprimands me or purifies me by aridity, as well when he consoles and encourages me by filling me with new fervor. He calls me when he makes me feel the need for greater generosity, and when he asks me for sacrifices, or gives me joys, and still more when he awakens in me a deeper love for him. So, again, we have to have that desire to know such a loving God. You know, I'll just do one more quick reflection. I was reading a book by Cardinal Dolan one time. He said, each and every day, we should take time to reflect on the fact that God dwells in us. You know, here's the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, that died on the cross, this Holy Spirit. And where are they? I mean, we don't have to look to the heavens. They're right here in us. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful gift. So, you know, that's the foundation, is to know God's love and to experience his love and know him. The will of the Father. You know, time and time and time throughout all the Gospels, what does Jesus say? I have come to do the will of the Father. You know? And, you know, and that was his mission, you know. And he says, you know, to give glory to God. And that was manifested perfectly in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying and he has all the weight of the sins of the world on him. And what does he say? Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And in his climax, as he's hanging on the cross for you and me, you know, and I'm not going to go any more detail than that, but I mean, that was Jesus' whole mission. That was his purpose, was to come and do the will of the Father. And how many times do we, you know, okay, God, I want to do your will, you know, and then God gives us this cross or gives us that. Like Tom was sharing that one day, you know, he's like, you know, go be merciful to that guy. And Tom was like, who, that idiot? That, you know, that guy? And, you know, and sometimes, you know, those are the hard things to do. But, you know, that's what God calls us to do. Not just, you know, hey, God, I got a perfect plan. You know, that never works for me, you know. But, you know, to do his will. And it is, sometimes it is very hard. And then along with that is, you know, giving glory to God. You know, St. John of the Cross, he created a little graph called the Mount to Perfection. And it looks, it's kind of like looking at a mountain, but it's looking at it 2D from the top down. And so at the very center of the graph is the summit. And in that graph, he has a whole, all kind of things written around on how, you know, have to do things to get to the summit. But at the very summit, it says, only the honor and glory of God exist. And that's what it's all about. You know, everything we do, no matter if it's singing a song or listening to me talk or, you know, going to church or going to work, every single thing we do in our lives, and I'm probably as bad to blame as anybody else, but everything should be for the glory of God. Whether you're doing dishes and, you know, you shouldn't be cussing, you should be rejoicing and saying, wow, thank you, God, for giving me dishes to do. You know, so along with the will of the Father, why do we do the will of the Father? Not just to, okay, I can build up graces for heaven. No, we do it to give glory and honor to God. And again, that's what Jesus did in his whole life. You know, he said, you know, God now be glorified, you know, and glorify me. So those two things, I think, really go hand in hand. And again, you know, I just wanted to briefly touch upon those. The fourth point is service of neighbor. And I summarize that up by saying selfless love. And again, I go back to multiple times in John 14, 15, and may even be in 16 and somewhere else, is, you know, multiple times through that gospel, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. You know, it doesn't get any more simpler than that. You know, and what did he do for us? He gave everything. He gave his life. So, does anybody remember what the quote is that Jesus said to his apostles? If you want to be my disciple, what's he say? Take up your cross and follow me. He says one thing before take up your cross. Deny yourself. And I was reading that during Lent. I was reading some little, I think it was Padre Pio's book, and he was little reflections. And I had always totally forgot about that part. And, you know, and so I'm thinking, like, you know, why do I have to do all these things? Why do I get all these burdens? You know, why me? And all of a sudden I picked this up and it says, deny yourself. And again, that's what selfless love is. It's not worrying about yourself. You know, oh, geez, now I'm going to miss my tea time, Joe. You know, now I'm not going to be able to go on that fishing trip, or, you know, I even sometimes, you know, I love going to Wednesday night mass, and there's been times I've had to give up Wednesday mass because I had to stay home and help my wife. And I'm like, I don't get this, God. But, you know, it's like, hey, Jim, just deny yourself and do what I ask you to do, you know. So, and that love has to be shared and given away, that love I talked about in the first point, you know. And, you know, we just got to be channels, like Mary's supposed to be a channel for, you know, the Holy Spirit and Jesus to us, you know. We're supposed to be that channel too. And one thing I wanted to reflect on, that point about selfless love and service of neighbor. Mother Teresa was reflecting on John Paul II's letter about I thirst, when Jesus is hanging on a cross and he says, I thirst. And so she goes on and she says, Jesus wants, and she's talking to her congregation of sisters, and she says, Jesus wants me to tell you again how much love he has for each one of you, beyond all you can imagine. I worry some of you still have not really met Jesus, one-to-one, you and Jesus alone. You may spend time in the chapel, but have you seen him with the eyes of your soul, how he looks at you with love? Do you really know the living Jesus, not from books, but from being with him in your heart? Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you? Ask for the grace. He is longing to give it to you. Until you can hear Jesus in the silence of your own heart, you will not be able to hear him saying, I thirst, in the hearts of the poor. So she goes through this beautiful reflection of Jesus is thirsting to give us his love, but then says, you have to listen to that so you can take that love to the poor. And look at your neighbors here. Look at the people to your left and to your right and around the room. These are your neighbors. These are the people that are thirsting for that love. Thirsting for you, maybe, to pour the love of God out to them. It may be your coworker. You know, maybe your neighbor at home, it may be somebody at church, it may be just a stranger. But, you know, that's what really amazed me about Mother Teresa, that, you know, she could just go up to the poorest of the poor, and she would say, I see Christ in them. And we should see Christ in everybody. And again, you know, God asked us then to pour out that selfless love to our neighbors. Oops, I missed one. Sorry. So the fifth point was the cross. And that's something I struggle with all the time. Just a real quick reflection on that. And I just pull these little tidbits out from saints and stuff because they say it so much better than I can. This Father Gabriel that wrote the book said, we must be thoroughly convinced that if the Holy Spirit works in our souls to assimilate us to Christ, he can only do so by opening up the way of the cross. Jesus is Jesus crucified. Therefore, there can be no conformity to him except by the cross, and we shall never enter into the depths of the spiritual light except by entering into the mystery of the cross. And so a while back, I was reading a book on St. Teresa Avila and her interior castle. And it hit me like right between the eyes when she said, a lot of us don't reach the interior castle. That's the divine intimacy. That's, you know, complete union with God. She says, a lot of us don't reach that because we do not embrace our crosses. And like I said, I think I would already be there. You would be calling me St. James if I could embrace the crosses that God gives me every single day. I understand it. I've read many of the saints. I just gave Irene a book by the encyclical by St. John Paul II on Salvavice Dolores, the meaning of human suffering. And I can get it all up here. I can understand it. that, you know, when you completely die to yourself, okay, then there's nothing left but the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And as St. Paul then says, it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. But then when it comes to putting it into practice, that's a struggle. And that's what we all struggle with, you know. We all have crosses to bear. Some of them are big, some of them are small. But again, you know, you have to bear those crosses, you know. And you don't have to bear them by yourself, because you've got Jesus to help you carry your cross and the graces of the Holy Spirit. But again, you know, Jesus didn't turn down the cross at the end, you know. He could have. He could have just said, hey, look, I'm God. See what I can do, you know. But he didn't, you know. And that's what he calls us to do, you know. And, you know, it's one of those great mysteries, you know. Why do we need to struggle? Well, why did God choose to die for us, you know? I don't know the answers to all that. He could have probably done a lot of other things, but that's what he chose to do. And so he asked us to do the same thing. And finally, the last point are the sacraments. You know, the church that Christ established was phenomenal. I went to the Holy Land 3 years ago with my wife. And out of all the things that we saw and did in the Holy Land, the most important thing to me at the end of the trip, when I look back on it, was the fact that we got to celebrate Mass every single day. You know, at that point in time, I was only going to Sunday Masses because, you know, I worked 5 days a week, so I couldn't go to daily Mass. And after about the third or fourth day, I was like longing for the Mass. You know, we were like around these beautiful sites and all this stuff, and I was just like, oh, you know, because we didn't do Mass at 5 o'clock, or, you know, it was always a different time. So I was always like, wow, when are we going to do Mass here? When are we going to do? And when you think about it, I mean, the Catechism tells us the Eucharist is the source and summit of all life. And what better thing to do? I mean, think of every single thing that you do during a day. Okay? What could be more important than receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ? I mean, and we should just long for that desire every single day. About 2 years ago, Monsignor started a Wednesday evening Mass. I was like, hey, great. Now I can go to at least Mass one more time. And when I started going, I was like, you know, I'll go now and then, you know. I think, like, in the first year, I think I missed one Mass. I mean, I got to the point now where, you know, when Wednesday comes, it's like, there's nothing else on my calendar. I mean, it's like, I'm going to Mass Wednesday night. That's the only thing I look forward to that day, is I want to go and receive the body and blood of Christ. Because it's just, again, it has become so important in my life, because I know I need that strength, those special graces that are received when you receive Jesus into your body. And the other thing that's really become a big part of my life is confession, or reconciliation, as I like to say. You know, after I told you my tech story, and then, you know, I go to confession once or twice or three times a year. But then I just got to the point where it's like I can tell, you know. Because like I said, I got burdens put on me every single night with helping my wife out. And, you know, I fail 5 or 10 times a day. Whether it's there, I just sat down, you know. You can just wait for 10 minutes, you know. Or why don't you do that yourself, you know. And as I was reading, I haven't read a ton of the saints, but you read a lot of the lives of the saints, as they grow in that union with Christ, they start noticing what they call imperfections. And it's not a sin, you know, like a venial sin, but the way they define it is, you know the Holy Spirit is calling you to do good, to do, you know, to be that selfless love, and you ignore it. You know, that's not what God, you know, that's not doing God's will. And so, after about 2 weeks, 3 weeks of that, you know, I can tell. It's like, okay, I think I need some cleansing, you know. So I go to confession, and then I get to start afresh. And it's just, again, it's such a wonderful gift that the church has given us to be able to go in front of the priest, who's, you know, Christ in persona, and just say, "Father, forgive me. You know, I'm a sinner." You know, and to have that imposition of hands, and just knowing that, you know, Christ is saying, "You know, my beloved, I love you. I forgive you. You know, go and sin no more." And I mean, there's other great gifts and great sacraments of the church, but I mean, those are two things that I've really come to love, and I really think that, you know, we are called as Catholics to embrace those great sacraments of the church and utilize them as much as we can. So, a couple things in closing. So, yes, it is ending. To me, transformation isn't like a one-time thing. It's just like your pilgrimage, you know? It's a continuing thing. You know, we are called to that divine intimacy, to that union with God, you know? And we'll never get that, you know, beatific vision until the day we meet the Lord in heaven. But we're called to get as close to that as we can. So it's really a journey. And I really loved it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, when Father Becke was standing up here talking, and he said, "I'm not there yet." You know, and I was like, "Oh, if he ain't there yet, I'm like way in the back of the room somewhere," you know. But again, it's just, you know, here's some, you know, and we all know Father Becke, you know, and you look at someone like Father Becke, and he's like, "What do you mean you're not there yet? I want to be like you," you know. But then Patsy told us one time during a homily, he goes, "Don't try to be like me or like Bob or like Joe or Scott. You want to be like Jesus," you know. And so, you know, it's a journey, you know, and it's something that we should all continue day in and day out to strive for, that perfect union with Jesus. You know, as we're going through that journey, you know, as Bob was talking about, you know, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit is poured out to us, you know, each and every single one of us, each and every day, should be able to join in with Mary in her Magnificat. You know, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he's looked at the lowliness of me," and I'm paraphrasing again, "and he has done great things for me, and blessed is my name." You know, we can all say that. You know, we don't have to be married. We don't have to wait until the Holy Spirit comes down and says, "Hey, I got something really, really special." I mean, he comes down, he gives us graces every single day. So every single day, you know, we should be able to proclaim that Magnificat with Mary. You know, "Jesus, you've done great things for me. Thank you, Lord. You know, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Yeah, today was pretty horrible, you know, but thank you for the gifts and thank you for the crosses, and I'll try to do better tomorrow." So I have a couple quotes from some saints that I want to share. One is from St. Catherine of Siena, and she says, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." So again, think about that. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. That's just phenomenal. And then, yes, Bob, I do listen to Light of Life radio station. And as soon as I heard this, because I was working on my talk, and this was months ago, I ran home and I wrote it down. So it was a story, I think Father Larry shared it. There was about two POWs. And the first POW was being maltreated really horribly. He was beaten every day. They would take his food away from him. And the second POW cared for him. Every time he came back in, he cared for his wounds. He shared his meals with them. And this went on day after day after day. And finally, one day, the first POW came back so badly beaten that the second POW knew he wasn't going to make it. So he looks at him and he asks him, he goes, "Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you want to meet Jesus Christ?" And this is what the first POW said to him: "If Jesus Christ is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him." And that's what every single person that we meet you would hope that that person says that, maybe not directly to us, but when they're walking away from us. Wow. If Jesus Christ is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. I mean, would that not be a perfect reflection of who Jesus is? You know, if we could bring that to everybody we meet. And then the last one, and I believe it was from Thomas Merton. I gave my book away to somebody, so I couldn't remember who was the spiritual person that wrote this. But he says, one must be born of the Spirit who is free and who teaches the inmost depths of the heart by taking that heart to himself, by making himself one with our heart, by creating for us a new identity. You know, and that's what the Holy Spirit does for us when we let him. You know, when we give him everything, he takes our heart into his and he makes it one. And Sammy was talking about, the spring and the river, you know, the river flowing up. And I was reading this one reflection and it was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, it's just like when two rivers join together, okay? You know, two rivers join together, and typically, you know, the new river gets named after the bigger river. Well, it's just like us and the Holy Spirit, you know? He's a lot bigger than us, you know? And so if we allow him to take our heart, we'll become just like him. We'll become that new river. We'll become that new spirit. And finally, one last thing is a prayer for you all. And I didn't get them in the mail. But I started praying this warfare prayer that I got down here probably years and years and years ago. Because I've been going through a lot, probably for years now, a lot of aridity in my spiritual life. And besides with all the crosses I'm bearing, I'm like, Lord, can't you like at least give me something, you know? So a lot of times I pray and I just feel like I'm not even saying anything. So one day, as I was reading through my book, you know, I found this warfare prayer, and I just started looking at it. And I started reading it, and I was like, wow, this is like an awesome prayer. And not only is it a prayer against Satan, and you know, but the I don't know how many times the person that wrote this prayer thanks God for, you know, all the gifts and all the things and all the blessings he gives us. So I've been saying it not only to, you know, maybe ward off Satan, but I've also been praying it just as a way of giving thanksgiving and praise to God. Okay? And at the very end, and this is a prayer, I want to all pray for you. So if you will bow your heads. Holy Spirit, come and cover us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you, blessed Holy Spirit, would bring all the work of the crucifixion and all the work of the resurrection, and all the work of the ascension and glorification, and all the work of Pentecost into our lives today. Amen. Thank you.